and gentlemen, welcome to the Elder Dragon Driller podcast. Once again, this should be episode 6, and this is your host, Igor. Tonight with
Joining
me is...
him is Nixha.
Oh, okay. This was a thing.
Hey!
So, Nixha, you seem filled with energy. Why is that?
I'm not really filled with energy. You just almost forgot to mention me.
What? No, I was getting to that, you emotional piece of... Anywho...
Carry on,
well... Today we don't have any guests, as you may notice. Nobody wants us for now. That's all right. Our feelings aren't hurt. Not at all. Okay, maybe a little bit. But, as usual, Commander of the Week, Nixha.
Oh, do I have a story. So, for this week, I would say my Commander of the Week was Sig River Cutthroat. But why him? I'd like to talk about it after you, because it'll take some time. So, care to share your Commander of the Week first?
Well, this week is the last week, Jorien, but this week I actually built her, managed to test her with my girlfriend this one game, and now she's showing me the middle finger, so now you can actually see where that went to. Basically, Tada Adele managed to sneak by her 2 times, getting a Soul Ring and a Signet, and that catapulted the game forward. And I had all the mana. I don't think this game will be an accurate representative of what a deck is supposed to play like, but I'm going to play with that one. Also, Dualcaster Mage is so fun.
Is he?
Yeah, copying just pour over the pages was fun. 6 cards, untap 4 lands, I'm good.
Yeah.
Tell your story.
So, this week, specifically yesterday, Friday, we had a little dual commander tournament at my local game store, and I went in with my Sig River Cutthroat ninjas.
No, you sneaked in.
No, all right.
You're a ninja, you have to sneak in.
Yeah, but I was also supposed to be a judge for that tournament. But our computer broke, the laptop for keeping score broke. So I had to do it one other fellow judge together. We had to do the whole tournament, and together we formed a competent judge. So the first round started. By the way, in my Sig is mostly a flavor ninja deck, but for this tournament only, he got some support from the pirates.
Yarr.
Namely, Cloud Pirates. So, round one was against Jorien.
Aww.
And I lost that one. Oh. 1-2. I did win the first round because I kinda drew just black mana. That's no good. But then again, I luckily didn't draw a lot of blue spells. But the blue spells kept piling on, and like by turn 6, I could actually start playing my blue 2-drops. Finally.
What was the Jorien deck like?
Well, it was basically an Izzet deck. It just played good Izzet cards.
Just spells all the way, or...?
No, there were creatures and spells and... You know, Young Pyromancer is really good in that deck.
Yeah, I'm kind of sad I traded him away a couple of months ago. Oh, well.
Also Venser is really good. But Venser is good in any blue deck.
Yep.
It didn't have any crazy combos. Just basically good cards. I managed to win the first round because I got my Sword of Feast and Famine to start discarding his cards.
That's a good sword.
Yeah. Untapping my lands, and then Fathom Feeder came in and started drawing me more cards. And when Jorien has only one card in his or her hand, she doesn't draw anything because it's just one spell.
Womp womp.
But then I got wrecked game 2 because I drew only blue. Because I drew only islands and, like, all the black cards in my deck. And round 3 I lost because I kept my hand of 5 lands and 2 spells, thinking, oh yeah, this will be nice, I'll curve out and it'll be fine. No, I curved out into a lot more lands.
Oh, bad beats.
So, before I start whining about my mana screw flood part, I'm going to go to round 2, where I played against Click. The Mistbind Click. No, wait. No, it's Vendilion.
Vendilion Click.
Vendilion. First game, I won, well, pretty easily because, again, Sword of Feast and Famine is a good card. Also that Artifact Planeswalker helped me win against Jorian one game. That first game. It's called Jitte. You can just kill anything, so that was fun. Back to the Vendilion Click. I won the first game, but the second game, it was pretty close. I just set up my advantage. I had like 5 cards in hand, a decent board, and the click player had like only click. He played his click, put something in my hand on the bottom of my graveyard, on the bottom of my deck. He got to his turn, and he tunnel vision.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
And I was just like, okay, so this is my deck now. Empty and with no cards.
This is my life now.
Just like my chances of winning.
Aww.
And then when we wanted to start our third game, time was announced. And there was no way that any of us can win in 5 turns. There was just no way. Yeah, sure. The click player could have just risked it and tried to get a turn 5. Actually, no, he can't even get to turn... Yeah, never mind. There was just no chance we could finish that, so we drew. It was a draw.
Better than a loss.
I guess. Well, round 3, I played against Akalia.
Ugh.
And that would be a good matchup for me if not for my removals, which most of them remove non-black creatures.
Aww.
So, oh yeah.
Turns out demons and Kali are black, right?
Yeah, and some dragons.
And yeah, fun times, and some angels.
Oh yeah, and it also helps when Iona doesn't block a color. But that's okay. I was just destroyed. 0-2. Nothing. No chance at all.
Bloody Kalia.
But then I got to a Widwin deck in round 4. And that was actually pretty fun because that Widwin was more of a control deck with a hatred finisher. But turns out you can't counter ninjutsu. So when the ninja starts flying in, that's like a really nice, just value machine.
Yeah, especially, you can stifle the trigger, can't you?
Yeah, you can stifle the trigger.
Only thing you can do, and bouncing the boards, but.
And a big problem for that for Widewind was Invisible Stalker. There's just no way to get rid of that besides Pact.
And Mass Removal.
Yeah.
But do you want to waste your Mass Removal on? Stalker?
A 1-1 guy?
You actually do, when he's wielding swords.
He bounced all my swords. But I did manage to get my Sword of War and Peace. And then I loved and tolerated the hell out of him.
That's a really good sword.
It is for dealing damage.
Oh.
And regaining some life. And that about sums up game 2 as well. Actually, no, I think I already lost game 2. He managed to control my hand and my board. There was, like, no way to come back. He would just ping me for 3 each turn until I died to commander damage. So I just gave up because I drew a terror. And turns out Widwin is black. And, yeah, game 3, sword wins again. Swords are good cards when they're on an unblockable hexproof, guys.
Yeah, he's a fair card. Invisible Stalker is really fair.
And the best part is, no matter what sword you put on Invisible Stalker, he swings for 3. He swings for 3, I draw a card. Hooray!
Card advantage is a thing.
And that about sums it up. In the end, I finished at like... I was around the middle. Actually, no, a little back. A little more towards the back. There was 14 of us, and I was like in 8th place.
Top 8!
Woo! I guess.
Well, that's a thing.
Except when there's 14 players, that's top 4. But
that's
okay.
Just ignore the facts. You were top 8.
Yeah, I top 8 that tournament with my sick ninjas and pirates.
Ninjas are fun.
And Phantom Feeder. He's not a ninja.
He feeded all the Phantoms. Anywho, after this tournament report, Nixxay also had a topic you suggested for this week.
Yeah, politics and commander. Where do you stand?
So, start a topic. I'll give my opinion shortly.
Well, you know, when you're playing multiplayer, it's all about... I think there's a lot of politics that's going on here. So, you just try to negotiate some terms with other players. They don't kill you first. You try to buy yourself out of some situations. You do some, you make some pacts, you make some alliances, and then you backstab them for the win.
No. I only disagree with backstabbing. I always, when I make a deal, I make it for a limited time only, and I, you know, make, let's say, we'll be okay for next, let's say, 3 turns. I never backstab, because you get a reputation that way. This way people will know when you make a deal, okay, this guy's going to honor the deal, so I can make a deal with him, because he'll be like, cool.
Yeah, I'm just still saying that about, you know, other people just backstab.
And in, you just remember what those players play like, and then you just don't make deals with them.
Well, the problem is that sometimes they make you an offer you can't...
Also, one really, really good tip for EDH. Never look like the best player, always look like the second best player. Because if you seem like a best player, people are going to target you because you look like you're really going to win. But if you look like you're second best, then you just seem like you're strong enough to defend yourself, but not like immediate threat.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, sure, I have a couple of good creatures and all that, but this guy has Prosh and, like, 17 tokens. Better kill him. Things like that.
You know, when I was playing Zedru, that's a very political deck, don't you think? Because...
depends on the version.
You try to buy yourself out of any situation. Like, somebody has a scary board, and then you say, I'll give you this land if you attack that guy. Or... maybe you'll give them a signet or something. Maybe you'll give them a creature. And people will... well, you hope they'll appreciate the gesture. You giving them free stuff.
Depending on the creature.
Oh, even if you give them, like, a 1-1 soldiers or 0-1 kobolds that do no harm. Or, I don't know, Maze of Ith. Maze of Ith is a good card to have, isn't
that,
it?
That's not the kind of creature I was referring to, and you know that.
I'm not giving any unfair creatures. I would never.
Like steel golems and stuff.
No,
right?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
I have no connection to that steel golem that's on his side of the board.
By the way, if you ever rebuild that deck, get Soros Path. You gotta get Soros Path. That's really, really bad land. Do you know what it is?
Wait, no. What
land? God. Let me open your world to the worst land ever. So, it doesn't even tap for mana. First of all, it's from the dark, so you know what you can expect. Choose 2 target blocking creatures an opponent controls. If each of those creatures could block all creatures that the other is blocking, remove both of them from combat. Each one then blocks all creatures the other was blocking. Whenever Soros Path becomes tapped, it deals 2 damage to you and each creature you control.
What?
Yes, it does exactly that.
So you just...
you switch basically the blockers from 2 guys, but...
yeah, but that part where you're not supposed to tap it ever.
But you can't tap it for mana.
But you can but you can give it to somebody and then keep tapping it with...
with other things,
yeah.
Like Fate Stitcher or something.
Yes.
See, if you ever rebuild that deck, that's the land you gotta donate to.
I wouldn't do that, I would give them...
nice things.
Something like, nice things, like that draw them cards, like... aggressive mining or howling mine.
I mean,
draws them cards.
This is a good card. You can save your creatures from, you know, bad blocks and all that. Now, granted,
you can also do that with Maze of Ith. But
but
you know what's the problem when you're playing Zedru?
People hate you.
You give people cards. You're playing a multiplayer game. You play Oblivion Ring on one guy, and then you donate the Oblivion Ring to some other player.
That's nice.
I'm nice like that. They can sacrifice that enchantment to do something. They can.
I mean, people are really whatever to that play. I've been a target to that play. I'm just like, oh, whatever, you're going to draw just another more card and gain more life.
Well, that's the thing. Most of the players here where I play don't see it like that. They see that part, he's giving me cards, how nice of him. And then they see that suddenly I'm drawing cards. And they're like, Wait a minute. You draw cards for control, for me having your permanence? Outrageous. And then they just wait for me to give them something and then they kill Zedru. Or they don't even wait, they just kill Zedru.
I mean, depending on what you have on board and what you're doing. If you're doing something mean to my opponents, I'll be okay for the time being.
No, it's just, even if you're not doing anything to them, you have a Zedru, you're drawing cards. Well, then die. They can't let me draw cards.
You know what's funny about your, you know what's funny about your community? They kill Zedru on sight, but Prosh with Xena was out, they let it slide for like a while. I'm surprised.
Well, that's the thing. I'm surprised too. Whenever I play a deck that's based around a creature or some synergy on the board, everybody seems to be having like 10 answers at a time. Each and every player they have to fight over who's going to kill my stuff. But when other people play stupid on-board synergy combos or one-card tactics, and then it's like, well, Nick, are you gonna get rid of that? Well, no.
I'm going to give them some super friends.
I don't have any more infinite answers in the deck. And then nobody answers anything. And then we lose the game because nobody's suddenly playing answers.
That's why I love my Alesha. She's filled with answers. My girlfriend can attest. Every time she plays a dragon, it mostly will die.
It's just, I just got into that mindset where I just can't build a deck the way I really want because I know that everyone will have an instant answer to anything.
That's why I play graveyard strategies. You don't care.
Oh, they have an answer for that too.
Of course they do.
But when other people play cards like that, then yeah, nobody has anything.
Then just play mono red combo creatures and that's it.
No. I'll play 99 Mountain Ashling.
Oh, sweet.
The only thing that loses to is Meddling Mage.
Also, but let's go back to politics, I think. We rambled on again.
Yeah. So, the thing is, you try to be political with people, but whatever you do, people at my community, they just don't seem to appreciate politics so much.
Depending on how you sugarcoat it. If it looks like you're trying to lead them on, yeah, they might get, you know, a bit sour.
I mean, you can convince them to kill something else except yours just by accentuating how good their board is, how good that card is, so they leave something of yours alone because they don't know what you're planning to do. But that's one of those strategies that work once, and then people are very careful about trusting.
Also, one trick I noticed that was really good is like, just point to the scariest general at the table. Okay, guys?
That used to work, but then they would see Zedru and kill Zedru instead.
I think in this whole equation, Zedru is the problem.
Zedru just draws cards! I don't know what's so big, what's so bad about that.
Yeah, Necropotence only just draw cards.
Oh, the Necropotence draws every card in the deck at once.
No, that's Yagun's bargain. For Necropotence, you actually have to work a bit.
Still draws all the cards.
Yeah, so the Zedru, he draws a lot of cards.
Whoops.
What did you do?
I just broke a pen.
Good for you. All those steroids seem to be working.
All those mana accelerations are getting to me.
That's what I was referring to.
Yeah, okay.
But I don't know, I think that Zedru is mostly the problem in this whole thing.
You know, I was also thinking that maybe a political card would be Ruhan of the Fomori.
Oh, he's such a—he's a lying political card.
Well, he's a fair card. He doesn't want to attack anybody, but he has to.
I mean, I just put all these swords on him, and I have to attack somebody. Did I just said I have to attack you? Oh well.
Oh no, that's not how you. If you wanna play like political with him, then actually I don't know.
You just put all the vows on him and attack random people and just give it away each turn. Put a salt suit on him.
Yeah, you can actually. Oh, yeah, you can.
You can actually do that.
Keep on giving him to people.
And put a vow on him, and that's it.
Yeah, much vows.
Or even better, a salt suit, some kind of a vow, and then Whisper silk armor.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That could actually be a fun alternate build. That's not just, you know, put all the swords, smash face.
Yeah, but then again, people would see that you're actually attacking them, and then they'll never attack you. And when they, at the point where they see that they can't attack you, they'll kill Rohan.
Oh, that's the thing. Also, one really, let's call it political card, Rurik Tar.
He
doesn't mind, you know, people who play fair magic, but people who want to cast spells, well, take six to the face.
Yeah, you could say that's a political, but I'd call that ultimatum.
That is, oh, I mean...
Oh, you're gonna play spells here, let me smash you hard.
No, let's make a deal. Nobody plays any non-creature spells, we'll all be good. That's politics in Gruul way.
Yeah, most of the politics that happens in my group is based on power. You know, talk is cheap.
Basically, why don't you just make Rurik Tar and try it out?
I did.
Play it again.
There are also other cards for that Rurik Tar, like Burning Tree Shaman, that doesn't allow people to use activated abilities.
No, it does allow them. Yeah.
You just have to give some life to do that.
You know what we say, greatness at any price.
So you could say that just giving that might is right, that's a political statement.
Yeah, I do have a Rurik Tar back home, so I might just make one deck with him when I come back from the season.
I just want like a 2v2 tournament where I would go with somebody and we'd both play Rurik Tar.
Oh god.
And then we will pretend like one is Rurik, the other guy is Tar.
I want to do that.
Then just have both Ruriks there, and then just like, oh, you're playing non-creature spells here, take 12.
Oh, you wanted to kill one of the Rurik Tars, take 12. You wanted to counter this spell, take 12.
They can counter it. Since Gruul has really good the cards that can't be countered, or just won't forbid from other spells being countered.
No, you just let them counter it. It's no problem. You'll just smash their face really, really fast because...
Yeah, but you have to make Rurik Tar uncounterable.
Oh, that's the thing.
Anyways, I think that's pretty much sums up about politics. And what better way to keep people in check in a political way is answers, right?
Yeah, but how many answers is too much? So I was thinking about my Alesha deck. It has so many answers, but my point was, how do you balance it? Because if you have too many answers and none of the threats, well, your deck won't do much. But if your deck has too many threats and none of the answers, you'll never actually accomplish anything.
Well, that depends. Well, I think that there is no such thing as too many answers. It depends on your commander. Like, if you're playing Damia, then there's really nothing. There's no such thing as too many answers, because you can just dump your entire hand and get more answers.
Okay, but how do you win the game?
That's different.
That's the point I'm talking about. That's the balance you need to accomplish.
Well, if you have some kind of really persistent win condition, then you don't need that much. You just need more tutors.
Yeah, tutors are boring.
I know. I mean, I'd rather have big stuff than tutors.
The thing I like to play instead of tutors is actually draw cards. Now, Damia is a really good draw card spell, actually.
Yeah.
As long as you can dump, you know, your entire hand in a turn.
Like, for instance, I don't know, oh, damn, I forgot. I just had it on my mind.
Good podcasting.
Yeah. You know that enchantment that you discard a card to tap or untap a permanent?
Mind over matter?
Mind over matter, yeah. That's the one.
I mean, then
I
you
used
just...
to play that in Damia. That's so
just,
good.
Then you just play Azami as well, because why not? Did you combo with that, or...?
No, I didn't play Azami. I comboed it with just playing... Oh, I think I actually used another really good card with Damia was... Dream Halls.
Oh.
Especially when you, like, grind out the game and people have really few cards in hand and you have 7, then Dream Halls becomes, like, almost omniscience for you. In some cases, even better.
Because sometimes you want your cards in your graveyard.
Yes. For those reanimations, you can, like, discard cards to cast.
Because Black loves those.
Yes. So, but we're, again, this is about answers. I used to also play the Super Friends, where my only threats were Planeswalkers, and everything else was an answer. Well, in my first version, I played, and I kid you not, I played 30 mass removal cards. And I was just keep telling people, stop attacking me, and I won't kill all your stuff. And people never believed me. And I just kept on killing everything. They kept on trying. And I just don't run out of mass removals.
Oh, God.
But then I got a couple of more planeswalkers, and I had more planeswalkers, meaning more threats. So, also, I ran a very few creatures because I got really irritated always losing to bribery and such. So, I just didn't run, this just didn't run good creatures, so I don't get killed by them.
Yeah.
Because they can't steal my planeswalkers from my deck.
I mean, bribery, I take your Llanowar Elf, I guess? Something like that?
I mostly played cards that work only in 5-color decks, so they would be useless to anybody.
I just did a quick count up of the removal spells I have in Alesha. You want to guess the number?
15.
29. In all shapes, creatures, spells, enchantments, 29. And most of it is recurable because it's stapled on creatures.
Yeah, it's really, in Alesha, it's really good to have answers in form of creatures.
Yeah, because just chugging them back.
I also have one other of my decks has that kind of philosophy and answers in form of creatures, and that's Reaper King.
I'm getting physically sick right now.
Look, that deck has a lot of answers. It has around 30 answers. Unless they get rid of your commander, then it has zero answers.
Or your graveyard. Then it also kind of sucks.
Yeah. It's just... That also is an interesting take on that, because I should probably put some answers, because once people, I don't know, they steal my commander, I can't get it back. Ever. Like, ever.
Yeah, you're in 5-color, you should have some kind of an answer.
I have one answer, and that's Mana Rock that has... that vindicates for 7.
Oh, Unstable Obelisk.
Yeah, Unstable Obelisk.
I mean, you should at least put Homeward Path or something like that. Or that Brooding...
I don't have
Saurian. Brooding Saurian?
I would put Homeward Path. Oh, I played Brooding Saurian in Rurik Thar before.
Oh, of course you did.
He never seemed to work because you play him and people just don't steal anything.
That's good. They don't touch your stuff then.
I still lost after a while, but... Hey, at least they didn't steal my stuff.
You play Gruul, you were happy. I mean,
be happy.
I mean, Gruul has some kind of a Puritan Simples in it. It's like Magic you used to play when you started playing Magic. Just smash face and you're happy.
Oh, yeah, that reminds me. Another way to justify not having a lot of answers, or enough answers, is just that your deck requires other people to... have answers, otherwise they're in trouble. So some kind of tempo decks. They don't need answers, they just have to put on enough pressure that people don't have time to develop their board. So you don't need answers to that.
Yeah, like forms of infect and stuff like that.
Yeah,
infect kind of falls more into the aggro strategy, but you know.
I'd say more in a combo way.
You can look at it both ways, actually.
Well, it depends if you're running, like, all the infect creatures ever in a deck, or you're just playing Skitrix as your commander and you have a combo for him.
Goddamn Skittles. I just hate him. I just hate
him. You hate Skittles? Who hates Skittles?
Me. Tessa played it today, but luckily I had Pilgrim's Eye. He was just standing there, boop, 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 boop. If he wasn't, I would most likely die, but he was like, boop, boop, boop.
He just derped at Skittles.
And she was like, oh, wait, look, let me look at it. What? This is BS! Why is this stupid artifact a creature? I was like, well, you know what was my board at that time? Just Jorian, Tada, Adele, and him. And they were just swinging for 5 a turn. And that's it. And I managed to get her from 40 to 20 with just those guys. It was sad, actually.
It's sometimes that the little guys get the job done.
You mean like my Alishadek?
Yeah.
It's just small dudes doing stuff. And people are mostly unprepared for, you know, turn 2, turn 3, turn 4 onslaught. And they just keep on coming.
And what do you think did Paul Reitz...
Oh, speaking of small dudes making...
Make good use of small people?
So, I was watching VSL, Vintage Super League. We're moving to the next topic, by the way. Vintage Super League is something that Magic is sponsoring and Randy Buehler is putting on his channel. Or Wizard Channel, I'm not sure what those two. But you know that Vintage is spell-heavy format, you know, with Storm and all the Druids and just, you know, many Moxes, many Black Lotuses and stuff. All those broken
Forces
spells.
Of Wills.
Forces of Wills, yeah.
Keeping stuff in check. Oh.
Or trying to.
Oh, damn, I lost the other half of my pen.
That's good. But anywho, I was just watching all the games, and then Paul Reitzel came up with a White Weenie deck. I was like, how can White Weenie work in Vintage? Turns out really good, because it's just all the hate all the time. When you can put Talia on turn one with land and a Mox, it's really good. Plus, yeah. Vintage can actually has a lot of problems answering a 2-2, turns out. And then when that 2-2 gets a Battle Scholar or Umez Javajita, that's it. What can you do?
Well, you can try to play... Well, you can also try to play, you know, Swords to Plowshares if it didn't suddenly cost more mana.
Or 2 or 3 or something like that.
Yeah.
And even when you play, like, a couple walkers with Mentor or something, Jita can just, you know, do its thing. Kill your Mentor, kill your tokens...
When you have to pay more for your Swords to Plowshares, that doesn't mean its mana cost is increased. So, Turns out Mental Misstep is really good in that case.
Also Chalice.
Yeah.
Chalice is good, because you just put it on one, and all your 2-mana dudes are still 2-mana dudes.
And his 1-mana dudes are now 2-mana dudes.
Yep. Also, you know what's a really fun uncommon from Journey into Nyx? Spirit of the Labyrinth.
That's a rare.
That's an uncommon, I think.
No, that's a rare. Spirit of the Labyrinth is that 2-mana 3-1 that allows only one draw per turn.
Yeah.
That's a rare. And it's an enchantment creature.
That doesn't matter that much. The enchantment part doesn't matter that much in Vintage.
But yeah, that seems like a really nice card for all of those people that want to run Brainstorm.
Not Brainstorm. Ancestral Recall.
Oh, yeah, Ancestral Recall is a thing in Vintage.
1-mana draw a card, I guess? That's a good play.
I don't think you can draw a card if you already drew at the beginning of your turn.
A recall is an instant, so...
Oh, so you can draw one at your opponent's turn?
Yeah, that's good. Also against Old Containment Priest. Just, okay, you want the Old Grizzlebrand then? Nope.
Grizzlebrand is played in Vintage?
Yeah, with in Old decks, Old Druids.
Oh, yeah.
You just tap Forbidden Orchard to give him a token, and then just get either Grizzle Daddy or Emrakul.
Mm-hmm. Both of them seem equally fair.
Yeah, but this deck just says no to those things.
Yeah, how about no?
And just looking at by Vintage standards, this isn't even an expensive deck. I mean, sure, you have to pay for the Moxen and the Lotus and the Mana Crypt, but the rest is kind of cheap.
Well, Sol Ring isn't banned, right?
Sol Ring is restricted.
Oh, to one, I guess.
Yeah, then you can play only one of those.
Well, Sol Ring is at least cheap.
Yeah, now that it has been printed into Oblivion, yeah. They even play a Celestial Flare in the sideboard. Do you remember what that does?
Isn't that the player sacrifices an attacking or blocking creature?
Yes, for 2-mana from M14, I think, or something like that.
No, I know it was in Origins.
Oh, in Origins. It was printed in Origins as well, but it's a reprint. Oh. Because I know we had drafted it on MTGO. This was M13, I think, or M14.
Still, good card, obviously.
It's something you don't expect. But yeah, if you're looking for some kind of cheap Vintage deck, cheap-ish, this is a good thing to play. Especially if you're going into a proxy Vintage tournament, where you can proxy up to 5 cards, or something like that. I would play the living hell out of this deck.
I'm really gravitating somehow to try to make a hate deck for Modern. because ever since, rest in peace, Zara Fulgin, I thought that I wouldn't feel that Io Fulgin ban, because I played one Io Fulgin, and I really thought that I play more big guys than normal Tron decks, so I thought I wouldn't really feel it as much, you know, because in the end it's just Io Fulgin gives in just the same mana as an additional Urza's Mine, but turns out it hits mono green Tron really hard. It really crippled my deck, and it crippled my my results, my positive win streak.
You mean your positive score?
Yeah, my positive score. I mean, I started losing more to mid-range decks.
Which shouldn't be a thing.
Yeah, with Io Fulgin, it wouldn't be a thing at all, because it just outvalues them. And without it, you just can't outvalue them anymore so easily. You have to work. The Tron player has to work for his guys now. Oh no, yeah.
Now you actually have to play Magic.
I'm not going to go over this, except maybe for somebody who's listening for us for the first time. Since I don't have, I have only one Karn, I only have only one Ukin, I only have one of each Eldrazi Titan, I just play other big cards like Platinum Angel, Sundering Titan. I do play three Wurmcoil Engines, though.
Sundering Titan is a really fair card.
That card is really fair when you play
Mono
Urborg. Guarantees a target.
Well, yeah. Like,
even on non-basic lands.
Yeah, that was just about to say, oh, look at your utility land. It's gone.
And, you know, I'll run a single Mindslaver, but I have no way to get it back. But still, one Mindslaver is devastating against the right decks.
But yeah, now that Tron is getting a hit, what do you want to do?
I tried playing Lodestone Golem, and Lodestone Golem works really well when I draw him.
When,
yes. And
but you were talking about Hate Bears.
Yeah, and Lodestone Golem is a hate card.
Definitely.
You put in two Lodestone Golems against an Infect because somehow you didn't die by that time.
Yeah, miracle.
And they just can't do anything anymore, because their spells are now hated to oblivion.
Oh no, I have to actually pay mana for my Become Immense.
Yeah, they can't play multiple spells, that's the biggest deal.
Yeah, and you just chump block their big guy and that's it.
And I was thinking, well, since now I can't have my fun because there's so many aggro decks, zoo decks, and mid-range decks, more now than ever, because of all the bans. And since I don't have effective mass removal, really, I was thinking about getting, you know, Thalia's and other sort of hate cards. Maybe try make a green-white Tron with hate, because I can still play the cards I hate, but unlike my opponent, I will have the mana to pay for them.
That sounds like an interesting concept. Will you play that asshole Gerok Teague?
The problem with Gerok Teague is that he's apparently made of pure gold.
Oh.
And also, I don't think he would be very effective in a creature-heavy meta right now.
That is a point. And less Gerok Teague there is around, better for everybody, I think.
But, you know, Leonin Arbiter is the guy that doesn't allow tutors, right?
Yep. He allows just for two mana more.
Yeah, about him, I don't really think I would play him, because I still have to tutor my Urzatron, and I won't have extra mana for that.
I would play him in a sideboard, at least.
But I could play Spirit of the Labyrinth. That's an interesting one, yeah.
Yeah, you could.
Spirit of the Labyrinth, Thalia, Lodestone Golem, maybe even Rin Wingmayer?
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ringmayer you kind of play along with Thalia, because why not?
Oh, and another one, I saw one Storm player, and now I just have to play that Celestia Soldier from New Ravnica. What's it called? That one green or white for a 2/1 that exiles all instant and sorceries in the graveyard when they get to the graveyard.
Dryad Militant.
Yeah, Dryad Militant. Also that one, because I can pay it for a green or a white.
Yeah. And this isn't like Legacy or Vintage Storm where you're going to just die straight away. They actually
yeah,
have
this
to
time,
they
this
actually
time
have
Storm
to set up.
Has to work a bit more for.
Yeah. I mean that sounds like an interesting deck. You should make the concept and try it.
Yeah, I mean Thalia's aren't really that expensive, except
the Judge foil.
The Qualifier promo.
Oh yeah.
The World Magic Cup.
I mean, you have one of those, so...
Yeah, I do have one of those.
So might as well play it.
Or trade it for, like, a playset of Thalia's.
That's a thing, but I would still keep this one because this one is so beautiful.
Yeah.
I want it.
So now I just have to get some Spiritual Labyrinths, but my mana base is going to kill me. If I'm having problem with my Sig Commander, oh, I'm going to have a blast with a Urzatron green-white deck. I can tell.
I mean, some things are still the same as the regular Tron. Basically, keep the... What's the... Still Scrying, those things.
Yeah. I'll even have... I just noticed that Sakura Tribe Elder is a lot worse than Nest Invader for a mono-green Tron. But seems like I'll just have to keep the Sakura Tribe Elder if I want to play a green-white Tron.
I mean, I guess...
Or I can always try mono green blue Tron and play it like in the oldie Ravnica days when it played Spellburst to counter everything with the same counter spell all the time and finish you off with Simic Sky Swallower.
Don't you have better spells to play?
Old school, man. Old school.
I mean, you do, I guess.
I mean, yeah, I have Titans. Why not just play Titans instead of...
That's a thing, yeah.
Instead of a Simic Sky Swallower.
I love Simic Sky Swallower, but in a modern meta, he really is outclassed by a lot of things.
He has Shroud.
He has, yeah. But Primeval Titan gets you, like, lands.
But he's double green.
Oh, no. How will you ever pay double green for your 6-mana guy?
Maybe by using 2 forests, so...
Either 2 forests or, you know, Shockland.
Or Painland. Oh, Painlands are cheap.
Yeah, Painlands are cheap and you can use them for a while until you get
all the Shocklands.
I mean, if you're playing green-blue, how many Shocklands do you... green-white, how many do you actually need?
Well, you only need 4.
Yeah, that's kind of cheap.
Yeah, you could say. It's cheaper than getting all the fetches.
That's a thing. Because, yuck.
But you still need... For consistency's sake, you still would need some fetches for those shocks. I'll see. I'll try that. I'll maybe even proxy some cards.
Oh, yeah. Just a side note. Remember when we were talking about Vintage?
Yeah?
You know what guy that Polito was playing against, I think, was playing?
What?
You know what's a minus 6 deck?
Minus 6?
Yes. You're basically throwing cards in graveyard until you get to the until you draw what's the dead dragon called? World Gorger Dragon. Then you keep reanimating him with Animate Dead and Bazaaring of Baghdad cards until you get to Una, Queen of Fae, and you get, you know, a lot of mana with looping World Gorger Dragon and lands and Moxen and things like that until you get to Una and just make him mill until they die.
Oh. Huh.
That's a really, really fun deck to play.
It's too bad that Ante cards are banned in everything.
Wonder why.
No, I mean, yeah, it's probably because gambling is illegal, and they're practically gambling cards.
Among other things.
But they're also interesting because if you're not playing for Ante, you remove them from your deck before the game starts. So you could basically make... like a 7-card deck.
Who wants to play 8? Doomsday? Me, right away.
Yeah, exactly. I think that would actually be too powerful, I think.
That might be one of the reasons.
Yeah.
I don't even know what I would play if I were to play Modern. Problem is that Control isn't very good right now in Modern, so...
Yeah, people thought Ancestral Vision was really powerful, but turns out it's... a bit slow.
That was a nod in the right direction, but Control still needs a bit more help.
Unbanned Jace? No.
I honestly think if they unbanned Jace, that would be okay.
Never. Never.
That was a different format when he was around. In this format, I think he would be a bit slow. Because games are almost already decided on turn four.
Exactly the thing that Wizards don't want.
No, but already turn four, you can see already where the game is shifting to. James wouldn't have so much of a pressure, I think.
I just think he's like really too good to be unbanned.
I don't know.
It's like a Pandora's box. You just can't open it.
I would, if I were Wizards, I would just do okay. For the next 3 months, Jace is unbanned. Let's see what happens.
Oh, but if you unban Jace, then you would probably also unban Bloodbraid Elf.
Why?
I don't know.
I think
because
that
Bloodbraid Elf was the reason Jace wasn't good in Standard while Bloodbraid
Elf. Yeah, but
was there.
I think that Modern has enough Predators on Jace to, you know, for him to not be so good, like, let's say Affinity.
Mm-hmm.
Or Infect. Good, you have a Jace, you're dead.
Well, Jace can bounce a creature.
Yes, a creature, but Infect usually has more than one creature out.
It actually has one creature and one land that can kill you.
Yeah.
And you can't bounce that land.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I just forgot that I have a secondary Modern deck, my Izzet Land Destruction deck.
That's not
that
a good
deck. That could do some work.
A lot of work. But yeah, I think that Jace would be safe to unban, honestly. Especially in this meta, which is really aggressive.
Maybe the meta would shift to more grindy matchups then.
Would these fast decks actually allow it? Because
well,
people
mid-range decks are already good enough against aggressive decks.
Mm.
Jund and Abzan are really good against aggressive decks.
Yeah, but Jund is also good against Jace, isn't it? Even without the Bloodbraid Elf.
Well, it does have Tarmogoyf.
Yeah.
That probably kills Jace instantly.
Yep.
And yeah, he bounces your Goyf, but you still have your Scavenging Goose.
He bounces one Goyf. More often than not, there is more than one Goyf in play.
Huh, but what if he has Fog Bank? Then he can't pass him.
In that case, you're playing with an opponent that has a Fog Bank, so what are you complaining?
Or a Hornet Nest. He has a Hornet Nest, you lose the game.
Oh, that would actually be a fun play.
Yeah, smashing. It turns out that I don't think that smashing Goyfs into a Hornet Nest wouldn't be very smart.
I mean, we have a Goyf, we have a Hornet's Nest.
I have a Terminate.
Yeah, that's the thing. I mean, my argument is that I think that Modern is safe enough for Jace to be unbanned, but the Wizards are too afraid to let him loose.
Well, we'll just have to see how the Modern Grand Prix are doing, since we no longer have Modern Pro Tours.
Yeah, sadly. I mean, I don't know. They're really cautious when it comes to Jace, with a good reason, I mean.
Yeah.
Because, good God, did he do some damage. But still.
Not as much as Affinity, I'd say, but yeah.
No, very few things did as much damage as Affinity did.
Memory Jar did.
I was just about to say, they were all in one block, so.
Mm-hmm.
They were either Necropotences or Memory Jars or things like that. But you would think that they were smarter, and then Affinity happened.
They were testing it out. They were young. And
no, but the best thing about the whole thing was Skull Clamp. They wanted to make it a +1/+1, but they wanted to have a disadvantage.
Yeah, the -1 was a really big disadvantage.
It was when there were no elves in format. Oh, wait, there were elves in format. Draw 2.
Yeah.
Oh, God. But the best thing was they realized that they made a mistake too late. It was already in print. And then we're like, okay, this is going to hurt a bit.
Yeah, and we can see how they're making, like, the versions of broken cards, but fixed this time around.
You mean just give it three mana more?
Yeah. You like, Brain in a Jar is, like, almost that Aether Vial, but for spells.
And then not as good as Aether Vial.
Of course not as good.
But you can also do fun tricks, just you can do with Aether Vial, just put the trigger on a stack for the spell, watch if they want to destroy the thing, and then see if you're going to play a spell or not.
Yeah.
Those are fun tricks you can
or
play.
Or get Ulenwald Hydra. That Ulenwald Hydra is obviously a fixed Primeval Titan.
Like, not fixed as in repaired, but as in neutered.
It's a balanced Primeval Titan.
Yeah, but you don't play a Primeval Titan because it's balanced. But did I see that Hydra getting played in Standard, actually?
Well, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's not a Titan, but...
It's for your Season's Pass.
Yeah, I like Season's Pass. You know what? When I got the Season's Pass, 5 days before the it got broken.
I was thinking about getting Season's Pass, but I really didn't see the point with Council of the with the Praetor's Council being a thing.
But I mean, it was funny. I got it just a couple of days before it got really expensive. I got it for a buck.
Yeah, that's nice.
And then I was like, dobro. I mean, that was okay. I got this thing. Let's see. Oh, there is a Pro Tour. Oh, what is my card worth? Oh, it's $7. Okay, good. I like it.
Well, there you go.
And then I put it in my Azuri so it can do things. So I think basically this was the episode.
Yeah, unless you have anything to add. I think that's it.
Nah, I haven't had time to focus on Magic because the season started, guests started showing up. But I'm getting some trades to Puka trade just to improve this Izzet deck. I'm having more fun with it than I thought I would. Turns out I love drawing cards. Even if I lose, I'm just drawing cards and I'm happy.
Yeah?
And I made my girlfriend angry with it, so that's also a bonus. Yeah. But this has been episode 6 of the Elder Dragon Drill podcast. This is Igor.
It was episode 6.
I think it was.
Oh, this is Nick. This was Nick, sure.
And as always, the Emperor protects. Or put an ECB heretic up.
Now we're pushing short.
No, Jesus will like too.
Mislim, vidio si Warhammer 3 trailer.
Mm-hmm, Dawn of War.
Da.
I šta, bit će samo prve tri rase u osnovnove?
Da.
A dobro, on će valjda u ekspanziji staviti. Vjerojatno će staviti Tyranny Dares.
Ali onako, gledam taj trailer i samo onako, sjetim se, čekaj malo, zar nije onako sva ta tehnologija onako ograničena?
Koja, River i Knightovi? I da. Te stvari? Knightovi ti imaju baš svoje posebne redove koji se priključuju tako ovima marincima i tako to u borbama.
Da, ali nisu svi oni roboti koje barinci imaju?
Ne,
su oni svi ograničeni?
Ne, ono što si ti vidio, to ti je zapravo van ovih Space Marinesa. Ti Imperial Knights.
A to je Imperial Technology.
One koji se zabio u onog Wraith Knighta, da.
Mm-hmm.
To je Imperial tehnologija, ali to su posebni skoro pa monastički redovi koji su se priključuju tako ekipe kad su borbe, ali su ograničeni jako. Nisu kao Titani ograničeni, ali ono...
I Space Marine oklopi, jesu oni ograničeni?
Jesu, ali imaš specijalne ljude koji njih rade koliko mogu.
I
ali...
vjerojatno ih popravljaju nakon borbe.
Mm-hmm. Pa imaš jedan chapter Space Marinjaca, Salamanderi. Oni su toliko dobri popravljanju svojeg oklopa da manje više svako ima master artificer armor. Svaki je dužan se svoj oklop popravljati i svi su naučili toliko dobro da su ono razinu iznad svih ostalih. Tako da ono. By the way, friendica mi se slikala na sferak ono sa likom koji je u Deadpool kostimu, ali ima Hugh Jackman masku na licu. Tako da fuck yeah. I Spider-Man je pored njih. Tamo smo gledali sad TSA Civil War, kad ja sam nešto minimalizio da vidim nešto na internetu, ja sam pogledao, oh kurac, to je 20-7, ja bi trebao snimat, jako skoro.
Aha.
Skoro pa sam zaboravio na podcast.
Aha, čekaj, to ste sad gledali Civil War?
Pa još uvijek smo na pola filma.
Ajme, meni.
Ona je već gledala u kinu, mm-hmm. Ali rekla da moram ja gledat, pošto je ona velika Marvel fangirl, pa...
Da, moraš.
Ja sam morao gledat Deadpoola, sve ostalo me boli kurac.
Aha.
I dobio sam još jedan ovaj Seconic Rift na japanskom. Yes. Yeah, i ovaj Museum Transfer Aquariat je isto japanski. I Grapeshot je japanski. Ja baš patim na te stvari.
Mm-hmm.
A morat ćemo o tom iliči tjena, mislim, o tom pimpanju dekova pričati.
Da, sjećam da smo mi skoro pričali o tome, ali smo pričali sa nekim gostom. Samo
da, jako. I onda smo, a dobro, budemo to štigli. Ima se vremena, budemo vidjeli ćemo nekog moć iliči tjena, bajte.
Mhm.
I Soul Ringove sam na japanskom počeo nabavljati onako pun kurac. I napokon imam Nevini Rose disk, to mi je lijepo. Prvi što sam ikada uspio nabaviti.
Oh.
I taj je isto na japanskom jer je eto.
Oh. Šta imam sutra uopće u Landu?
I have no idea. Anywho, ja sam lagano idem jer sam budan od 4 ujutro.
Aha.
Ja sam radio od 5 ujutra, onda sam mi se stvari događale tijekom dana pa nisam mogu ići drijemat. Pa se čujemo skoro, bure meditirio sutra ujutro, ja mislim učude.
Okej.
Okay. Ništa je, čujemo se. Was fun talking to you. See ya.
Ajde, bye-bye.